West Albany and working through the book of Chronicles, and we've begun a section where David is making preparations for the temple to be built by his son Solomon. Last time we saw how David prepared the materials, he prepared his son Solomon, and then he prepared the leaders. We saw that all in chapter 22. Now we come to chapter 23, where we see David preparing the Levites who are going to be doing works of service once the temple is built. So we'll first read the first six verses of 1 Chronicles 23, and then we will turn to read about the works of service for those in the New Dispensation, New Testament, Romans 12. So let's first of all turn to Chronicles 23. Read the first six verses. So when David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and above, and the number of individual males was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. So also David separated them into divisions among the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And there follows the division of the sons of Levi for the works of service at the Lord's house. We'll turn to the New Testament and read from Romans 12. And then we'll go back to Chronicles and read our text from verses 24 to 32. Romans 12, reading the entire chapter, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortations. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So far from the reading of the Christian's reasonable service to God, let us turn back to 1 Chronicles 3 and read of the service of the Levites. First Chronicles 23, and we'll read as our text, verse 24 to 32. Just prior to this, the sons of Levi are divided, and then that picks up again in verse 24. These were the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses, the heads of the fathers' houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and above. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever." And also to the Levites, "They shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, and in the courts, and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine flour for the grain offering, with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the set feasts, by number according to the ordinance governing them regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord." After the proclamation of God's word, let us sing our praises to the Lord, and let us exalt his holy name, you that serve within his house. Psalm 135, verse 1, 9, and 10, after the proclamation of God's word. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, if a boss is going to prepare for a job, or an employer, he makes preparations. He does this by seeing how many guys or workers that he will need to send them to do that job and assign them to different tasks so that the job is eventually done in a timely manner. Or if you're going to prepare a meal, you make sure that you have all the ingredients and you have the right ones, and so that you can complete uninterrupted what it is that you intend to bake or cook. Or if you're hosting a dinner for friends or for a party, it makes sense how many people you are expecting to have over, so that you have an idea of how much food you need to prepare. You'll make sure that you have enough cutlery, enough plates, enough glasses, so that everybody can have an enjoyable time. Now, in everyday life, we are working with numbers. Numbers help us to be prepared. And this is similar in our passage too. David, he is preparing a big temple. And when it is finished, there is going to be a lot of work that needs to be done. For this reason, he is taking preparations to number all the Levites by name for the work that they are going to do in this new temple. But David isn't doing this just because he feels like it. He is in fact doing this with the authority that God has given to him as king. And what we see God doing here through David is God's overall work for preparing an eternal dwelling place that will once again be here on the earth with those whom he has numbered in his son Jesus Christ to serve him. And he is preparing them for that already now. And God is doing all of that through the authority that he has given to his own son, Jesus Christ, the great son of David. He who is calling his sheep by name, those who are following him, those who are serving him now, and those whom he is leading to also dwell with him forever in the new Jerusalem. And that brings us to our theme this morning. The Lord uses David to arrange the Levites to serve the house of, to serve his house. And we'll see, first of all, the Levites are numbered for this service. And we see that in verses 24 to 27. And then we will see that the Levites attend to the needs of this service. And we see that in verse 28 to verse 32. So firstly, let us consider, under the theme, the Lord uses David to arrange the Levites to serve at his house. Let us firstly consider that the Levites are numbered for this service. Verses 24 to 27. Now we've had in the past sermons that focused on David's war and his mighty men. We see that prior to chapter 22, where David begins his preparations for the temple, and David has had many victories over the nations around him. He has subdued the nations around him, the Moabites and Edomites, the Philistines, the Ammonites. And now, in the previous sermon, that has now transitioned towards the Lord giving rest to his people and David making preparations for Solomon to build the temple. And this theme continues now in chapter 23 from verses 24 to 32 as David prepares the Levites. And he's preparing them for a general work which is described and said there as for work for the service of the house of the Lord. That is mentioned four times in verses 28 to 31. And the reason David is making this preparation for them to work on the temple is because now that the Lord had provided rest for his people, he would no longer dwell in a temporary structure, the tent or the tabernacle, but he was now going to dwell in a permanent dwelling place in Jerusalem. So David is making significant changes to the form and the style of worship in Israel. He's not changing the substance of worship. He's not changing the principles of worship. He is changing the form and the style of worship because God is moving from a temporary structure to a more permanent dwelling place with his people. In the wilderness, the Levites carried the items of the tabernacle. They had the task of packing the tent up and carrying those things. And they would camp around the tabernacle. And the tabernacle had been God's temporary structure or means for God to dwell and live with his people. But now, in verse 25, God has given him rest to his people, and he is going to now dwell with them forever in Jerusalem. And that required that the Levites now be separated and divided for that work. It didn't make sense for David to do that, to make preparations for the Levites to work at the temple. He's taking stock of everything that he needs and everything that is going to take place so that that worship can begin immediately once the temple's finished. David's building project was going to be a mammoth task. There was a lot of work that would need to be done. And so in the wisdom that God has given to him, he is now preparing for this. We read that David is doing all of this in verse 25 by the words of David, and because David said, we see that in verses 25 and 27, and that doesn't mean that David is doing this because he feels like or he's going out on a limb just to change the style and the form of the worship in for the people of God. We in fact read in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25, that the organization of the priests was by the command of the Lord. So the Lord had commanded David to do this. And before David, in 2 Chronicles 29, 25, are two prophets who are witnessing to all that David is doing. So he does this by the authority God's given to him. And this teaches us three things that we can learn so far with respect to David numbering the Levites for the service at the Lord's house. Verses 24 to 27 is teaching us that these Levites are being numbered by name. They are numbered by name. And they are numbered by name for a particular work of service at the Lord's house. And they are numbered by name for service by the authority and command of their king, King David, whom God had appointed over his people. And brothers and sisters, when we read these names just before our text, we sometimes wonder, what's the point of all these details? What's the point of all the detail that we often read in Scripture and in this chapter too? Beloved, God is very intentional about his work. He is selective. We read in Psalm 147, verse 4, that God even counts the number of the stars. He calls them by name. Way back in Genesis 15, God spoke to Abraham on a clear night and asked him to look out at the heavens and to see if he could number the stars. That would be the number of his offspring. And think of the people of Israel. Israel were not just a people that were randomly picked out of a hat amongst many other nations. God was very intentional about this. We read in Isaiah 43, verse 1, that Israel were not to fear because God knows them by name. He has redeemed them. You are mine. Israel as a nation were chosen by name. But so were individuals within the nation of Israel. Think of Moses. We read that the Lord knew Moses by name, Exodus 33, verse 17. And Moses intercedes for the people after they worship the golden calf, and because God knew Moses by name and found favor in his sight, God hears his prayer and is gracious and merciful to provide that mediator for Israel. But not only Moses, there were others in Israel. Think of Isaiah and Jeremiah, they were both spoken of in the Old Testament as those whom God formed in the womb, who he knew before they were born, and that he set them apart for a specific work. They were called as prophets. And think of Mary, whom the angel Gabriel visited and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." God even knew Mary by name, we learn from that passage. Beloved, it is a wonderful privilege to be numbered, to be named by God, to be called into his service, a service which we don't deserve, a service that Israel did not deserve. They did not deserve to be called by name. There was nothing in and of themselves. In fact, Israel continually showed how unworthy they were to be God's people. We read at that moment when the people of Israel served the golden calf in Exodus 32, how the Lord's anger was aroused because of their sin. And Moses speaks to the people of Israel, and God is with Moses at that time. Moses goes, he's been up the mountain for too long. And you know the story. The people are wondering where Moses has gone, and they speak to Aaron, and Aaron makes that golden calf, and they serve the golden calf. Then Moses comes back down from the mountain, and who but Moses, in verse 26, says to the people of Israel, after this incident happens, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." That is what Moses says when he comes down from the mountain. And who is it that comes out from the people of Israel to stand with Moses at the door of the tabernacle in verse chapter 32 there? Well, at that time we read that it was the Levites. The Levites, they separated themselves from the people of Israel and they came to stand with Moses, to stand with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, because we want to serve ourselves, that is our natural inclination, or serve God in our own way, all the ways we do not serve him, or we don't serve him rightly, makes us unworthy to be on the Lord's side. We are not worthy to be counted or numbered with him. And yet, brothers and sisters, it is by God's grace and bountiful love towards sinners that he does number us, but not in and of ourselves, but based on his great love and mercy which he has shown in his own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the only one who in his righteousness could step out of the people of Israel and separate himself from their sin to stand with the Lord in righteousness and holiness. He who is worthy to be our mediator between God and us. He who was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus says this in Luke 22, verse 37. He's quoting from Isaiah 53:12 that speaks about how he would suffer for the people, numbered by God. And immediately after this, he says there that he will bear the sins of many and he'll make intercession for the transgressors, says the prophet Isaiah. God's servant, the great son of David, numbered with the transgressors. That what was Jesus was numbered for. He was numbered for a particular service, a work to do, to bear your sins. Too many that we cannot even number them ourselves. And yet, in Jesus Christ, being numbered with the transgressors, He promises to cast all those sins into the depths of the sea and to not number and hold our sins against us, but rather to give us the full righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that having been drawn out of the sinfulness and wickedness, we might be standing with Him, that we might come unto Him and serve Him. Just like we sung after the Ten Commandments in Psalm 130, if showing no compassion you would our sins record and mark all our transgressions, who then could stand, O Lord? But you will pardon fully all our iniquity. And so, beloved, it is a wonderful privilege that God knows you by name and He has called you by name, even being baptized in His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the presence of many witnesses, and that water poured on your forehead with your name being said. Because that has profound, wonderful consequences for you, brothers and sisters. It means in Psalm 91, verse 14, that you have comfort, that He will deliver you and protect you because He knows you by name. Psalm 91, verse 14. It means that God will not forget you either. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. Who are those brothers and sisters who are numbered for such a privilege? Who are those numbered to have their sins removed and forgiven? Who are those numbered who can receive this wonderful comfort? And who are those numbered to have the promise that God will not forget their name or erase their name, but to have their name engraved on the palms of His hands? Who are those being numbered for service? And who are those being numbered for that eternal dwelling place with God to serve Him forever? Well, beloved, they are being called out of this world, called out of sin and wickedness, being called by name and entering into fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those being called by the Good Shepherd, by His voice, as we read in John 10, verse 3, He is calling His sheep by name and leading them out. His sheep are hearing His voice, He knows them, and they follow Him, and He gives them eternal life, but that they should never perish, nor anyone snatch them out of His hand. John 10, verse 27 and 28. And then now are they being numbered for a new service. Those who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, He calls them by name, and then they follow Him. They follow Him. And He's doing all of that by the command and authority that the Father has given to Him. And He's doing all of this, brothers and sisters, as we sang there in Psalm 130, verse 2, that we may serve Him truly. And we consider that under our second point. Now, having been called by name, brothers and sisters, having received the promises of God, and also now being numbered by name for a new service by the authority of God and Jesus Christ, He charges you to keep that service. He charges you to attend to that service that He has given you to do as one called by Him. We see that's what David is doing here by the command given to him by God in verses 28 to 32. After David numbers the Levites, he charges them to attend to the needs of the service that they are given to do, verses 28 to 30. And look at the services that the people of the Levites are supposed to do here. We read that they are told to do purification, which involved cleansing all the articles and utensils and instruments in the temple. They were to take care of the showbread. They were to arrange flour for the grain offerings. And perhaps that would have involved grinding, grain that would have been involved storing grain and carrying sacks of grain. They were involved with baking and mixing because the sacrifices involved offering up cakes as well. The unleavened bread would have had to be made to put on the tables in the temple. We see that they were involved with taking different sorts of measurements and in working with different kinds of ingredients. And then they were also involved with the regular burnt offering sacrifices that were presented every morning and every evening. And that would have involved them carrying and leading the animals from stalls that were outside the temple, but around the temple, from their stalls. They would bring them and lead them up also to the temple for sacrificing. They would have been busy scrubbing and cleaning the blood that would have been spilling and spattered everywhere. And then they're also involved with playing musical instruments. We read that in the first six verses. They were involved as being officers and judges at the gates of the city and the temple. And the Levites did all of this to help the priests, we read there in verse 32. They were to help and support the work of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were given the privilege of being the priests, and the rest of the Levites, they were there to help and support the work of the priests in what they were doing. So in other words, the Levites, they were all these background kind of workers. The priests were the ones standing at the altar, the sons of Aaron. They would make the sacrifices. They'd be the ones that would enter into the temple and also put the blood on the ark on the Day of Atonement. But the Levites were involved with all those tasks around that. Cleaning the blood, restoking the fire, carrying the wood to put on the altar. All these jobs that we don't think are important, but they're absolutely necessary and crucial for that worship between God and his people, for that mediatorial work between God and his people, that they might receive his blessing. And notice that they did this continually, verses 30 and 31, evening and morning. The arrangement of the names of the Levites in the previous verses before our text would indicate that they may well even have had a calendar, that they woke up in the morning and they would have had daily routine all planned out. In verse 32, they were to attend to the needs of the house of the Lord. And in the Hebrew, the word that is being used here is to keep the charge. They were responsible for all those works that would take place at the Lord's house, to do all these duties, and they were to do that consistently and diligently. And for us today, brothers and sisters, those whom God has numbered to serve him, he is now gathering together as his people in his dwelling place. He has given us a new service. You have a new service. You have a responsibility to do. No longer do we serve the world or our own flesh or the devil's wishes, but rather we are now numbered to serve him and serve his body, to serve his temple, and to do that continually and persistently. And that's why we read from Romans chapter 12. Paul says there that you are now to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then immediately after that, in verses 4 to 6, he speaks about how we are members of that body of God's dwelling place, and each has a function to play, to use our gifts for others. And then Paul lists a whole number, range of services that are reasonable for the Christian life, having been called and numbered by God. He speaks there about not thinking highly of yourself, but to think soberly and humbly and to give generously to others, to show mercy with cheerfulness and to love one another, abhorring what is evil, doing what is good, even blessing those who persecute you, rejoicing with the joyful, weeping with the sorrowful, associating with the humble, not being wise in your own eyes, not repaying evil with evil, seeking peace with all men as much as depends on you, not taking revenge, These works of service, brothers and sisters, which is our reasonable service, is not an easy thing to do. And sometimes we struggle to do this. We find ourselves fighting against that old service every day. That old service of serving ourselves or serving God in our own way. It's like Israel was so quick to serve that golden calf immediately as they were taken out of Egypt. Sometimes we have difficult times and know what is the right thing to do, but we don't do it, or we don't even sometimes want to do what we know is right. And yet, brothers and sisters, we are not alone. For the one who has numbered you by name to give you a new service also gives you all the help that you need. And he does that, brothers and sisters, because it is you personally who are now the house of God. You are his dwelling place for his Spirit. You are the temple of his Spirit. And so relying on him through prayer and his word, it is possible to serve him. It is possible to show and bear all those fruits and works of service that we read about in Romans chapter 12. And now with the help of the Holy Spirit, it can even be a sacrifice that is continual and a commitment to God and to his people and to the church. And beloved, how blessed we are to see that God is performing that work here now amongst his people in Albany. Having called you by name, he knows you. Your service also is evident in the lives of many. We see that in our congregation. There are those who are willing to make sacrifices for others. And much of your work goes unnoticed. Just like a lot of those Levites went unnoticed in their works of service. And yet, by God's grace, you are faithfully giving your time, you're giving your talents to serve the Lord. And sometimes God's people don't prefer to do these things, and yet you still do them. These Levites, they didn't have a preference. They were called to this by God. They were appointed to help the priests and work at the house of the Lord. And sacrificing, beloved, often means doing the things that we may not prefer. But that's our struggle and fight against our old nature, because God has called us to serve him and to one another, and in that we find truly our greatest joy and our delights. And how blessed it is to see God doing that in our midst. And it's not a work that is being done for self-glory. The Levites, they all worked in the background. There wasn't much honor, humanly speaking, to be a Levite. On your knees, scrubbing the floors, washing the dishes, doing what everyone thought was the menial or unimportant tasks. How much more honor it would be to stand as a priest at the altar. But praise God, brothers and sisters, that there are many who are doing works of service like this, not for themselves, but in the background for God and for his church and for his kingdom. And yet, brothers and sisters, there are those who do not serve. They do not give their time. They don't give their talents to the Lord. It's clear that they are not willing to make sacrifices for others. They're still busy serving themselves, or they're still busy being more committed to the things of this world and taking on that responsibility which the Good Shepherd has called them out of and into that new service. And beloved, if your name has been called by the Good Shepherd and you are not coming to him, if you are not following him in this life, then that is a road of great concern that should deeply trouble you. Beloved, if you are not serving him down here, what makes you think that you will want to follow him and serve him in the next life up there? If you don't want to serve him down here, what makes you think you'll want to serve him up here? Or what makes you think you'll serve him? What makes you think that he'll let you serve up there if you don't want to serve him here at all? And beloved, this is also a call for self-examination. A call that while you may be sitting in church and in the worship service, having your name called to be here, and yet serving the Lord in your own way, or not serving him at all, or in open rebellion, not sacrificing for him, not sacrificing for others, is evident that your name may be registered in the church records, but you should be concerned that your name is not recorded and numbered in the book of life. And that should deeply trouble your conscience and stir you. In fact, it should even arouse fear within your own hearts and bring you to look outside of yourself and away from your service, to step away from those sins in faith and to Jesus Christ. And he is the only one, brothers and sisters, who can help you do that. For he himself is the greatest servant who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, a ransom to call you out and deliver you from those sins and from the devil. And he is the one who by his Spirit can help you serve God faithfully. And this service, brothers and sisters, it's for all ages. At the beginning of the chapter, we saw that those who were numbered in verses 1 to 6 were the age of 30. And in our text that we read, we see that that age number is changed to 20. And so what's the lesson that we can learn here from this age change from 30 to 20? Now we should first say, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that you wait until you're 20 years old before you begin to serve the Lord. You don't wait till 20 before then you then finally make up your mind to be committed to him and to respond to all the promises that he has given to you and how the good shepherd has been calling you to serve him. Now, David changed the age from 30 to 20 because there was a greater need. The temple was going to be much bigger. There was going to be more work that needed to be done. And so they needed more men to serve. So he lowers the age range. And so the point for us here, brothers and sisters, is that David changes the age because there was a greater need. And so when do we serve? When do we serve the Lord? At what age should we start? Well, beloved, there is no age. That's not the answer. That's not the point. The point is that if there is a need, if you see the need, then you serve. And you serve in whatever capacity you can. And, beloved, this is also a continual service. Notice that the Levites were to stand there in verse 30, morning and likewise at evening. And that takes commitment. And yet when we focus on what God has done for us in his servant, Jesus Christ, we are able to serve in the way that he also has served his body, his people, morning, evening, day in and day out. Morning and afternoon and evening, he will help you. Be faithful to him, to be fighting against our old sins and that old service to the world and the devil. He'll help you also come to church on Sundays to be with him and his people. And so, beloved, keep looking to him without neglect. And he will surely strengthen you when you are tired. He will pull you back when you feel that you're on the fringe. And he will hold your head high when the waters feel like drowning you. And so, beloved, our service today is one of commitment, is one of persistence, it is one of diligence. But we also know that God is the one who will also preserve us in this service as well. For those whom he numbers by name and those whom he has also called into that new service by the authority of his Son, and those whom he works within them by his Spirit, that sacrifice, that commitment, He will then also cause to persevere for the work that he begins. He does not neglect. He does not forget. He does not put aside, because God himself is the one who is committed. He is the one who is persistent to also ensure that you will also forever be his dwelling place. We read in verse 25 that the Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell with him forever. Where is that temple today, brothers and sisters? God said that he would dwell with his people in Jerusalem forever. Where is that temple today? Is God still dwelling physically there with a certain amount of people? How can God say in Jerusalem forever? Brothers and sisters, it's because you are his dwelling place. His people is the new Jerusalem. And he will dwell with them in the new heavens and the new earth. And beloved, that is what he has called you to. That is why he has numbered you by name. And he will surely also preserve you until the end. We read in Revelation 3 verse 5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That is the hope, the comfort that you have, brothers and sisters, in your Savior Jesus Christ, your mediator, whom you hold on and cling to in faith. The one who by the authority and power of God given to him has called you, he has named you, he has numbered you and brought you out of the world, out of sin, out of the tyranny of the devil to serve him, to do that through his Spirit in a life of persistency and commitment and sacrifice. And the one who will also preserve you, he will keep you, he knows your name, he will confess that name before your Father and before his angels and enjoy forever his presence in joy and peace and a permanent and eternal rest. Amen.